Hey, it's the story, stupid. Welcome to the 10th. It's the story, stupid, the word trip podcast. We've got a couple of voicemails from listeners on the last podcast. I'll play those and address them in a second. I'll tackle a new topic in the next podcast, as I think we've got enough good information for our usual length and then some with just these. First thing I want to mention, though, is a rediscovery this week I had. I recently had the chance to rewatch Throw Mama from the Train, a black comedy with Billy Crystal and Danny DeVito and the scary lady who played Mama Fratelli in The Goonies. And I haven't seen it in probably almost 2 decades, about when it came out. And having become a student of writing since then, making an attempt at being a writer, I found it amusing on a whole new level. I laughed at the usual jokes, and then I laughed even more at the writer jokes. The flaws in the plot are obvious. You know, we should all be so lucky as to have an ex-wife become a national bestseller, and then, after nearly killing somebody, going on and having a hit ourselves. But that first scene in his classroom almost had coffee coming out of my nose with the abysmal writing from the students and the just very typical problems that we all know that people have when they're starting out as writers. So if you're a writer, and why else are you listening to this podcast if you're not, you owe yourself a little break. This is a black comedy. Now, onto the voicemails. Our first is from Ann Blick, who is one of the moderators over at Word Trip. Let's hear what he has to say.
Hi, Charles. It's Ann Blick calling to comment on the storyteller versus wordsmith and the constructionist versus visualizer concepts. It's a very interesting way to think of things. I heard of your view on there about being the possibility of being part storyteller and part wordsmith, but after thinking about it more, I think I would have to carry it a step further to be more like a square than a line. In a linear view, if you're on one end, you're 100% of one viewpoint. The other end, you're 100% of the other viewpoint. And in the middle, you're 50-50, etc. Looking at it more like a square, the bottom left-hand corner has zero talent in either. Someone at the top left is great at one and worthless at the other, the bottom right being the exact opposite of them. And the top right is where we all wish we could be, incredibly great at both storytelling and wordsmithing. However, most of us will fall somewhere inside the square, not along any line. As for the visualizer versus constructionist, I see that being more along the lines of your linear concept, where you could be part visualizer and part constructionist. I doubt most people would fall on the extreme end of either side, and there also doesn't seem to be the same correlation to my square concept for storytelling and wordsmithing. I will talk to you later.
Well, my thoughts were actually less of a pie chart line, et cetera, linear thing, a talent, as it was an empty old-fashioned scale with 2 empty files, one on each side, one for storytelling talent, and one for wordsmith talent. Some of us may have only 10% full on one and 20% full on the other, or 80 and 90, and either way, it would make you lean a little more toward one side or the other, but still not be Harper Lee, who was always my de facto example of an uber talent, even if she did only publish her one novel. Which is, I guess, pretty close to your metaphor example, in that you're varying levels of talent on both spectrums to get all the way up to uber talented in both storytelling and wordsmithing. Also, we want to read a little thing that Andlick mentioned in the forums about a discussion that happened at the writing conference he just attended. He writes, "Today at the conference there was a session on storytelling versus good writing, which I, of course, attended. The panel seemed pretty much in harmony that stories endure more than prose. They used Dickens and Verne as examples of mainstream authors of their time that were not accepted by the literary community as authors because their words were more everymanish for their day, but they live on because they told good stories. Someone mentioned Shakespeare, to which they, of course, responded that his plays were written more to the language that any man off the street would understand at the time. It didn't become deemed to have such eloquent language until much later. Their point being that the concept of what is good prose changes over time, but a story will endure. Then they got into a brief yet interesting discussion about the difference between plot and storytelling, the best definition being that storytelling is what happens as the plot unfolds. Thank you for those notes, Tim. Those were really interesting discussions, and I do like that viewpoint that the good story will endure, and you can't just count on having good prose. The next we have one from Sandy, who kind of got cut off by the voicemail system. I'm going to try and use what they did get recorded for her and try and edit it to make a little more sense.
Okay, this is Sandy. This is to call in and comment on Storytellers, Wordsmiths, Visualizers, and Constructionists. Basically, I think that the Storyteller Wordsmith section is very too oversimplified. Storytellers to me have always been those interesting people that you find at any party or any pub who can tell a good story and capture and enthrall their audience in order to tell the story. Their main part of fun has always been their actions, their reactions, and their enthusiasm. They're part actor and part writer, but they're not good enough at either one to actually earn a living at them. Whereas you have writers. I don't know whether writers are just wordsmiths. They are wordsmiths, but they are much more than that. And I think just calling them wordsmiths, etc., and lumping them all in together would do them a disservice. I mean, you cannot compare Stephen King to F. Scott Fitzgerald. You can't lump them all together under one category and say, oh yeah, well, he's a good storyteller, a good wordsmith. There's all different levels and different categories, and each one finds their own niche. As for visualizers and constructionists, well, I guess I am a visualizer. Everybody kids me in saying that I'd be Sophia. Picture this! From the Golden Girls.
Well, that's where Cindy kind of got cut off a couple seconds after that, so she didn't really get her complete thoughts out on visualizers and constructionists. But yes, the idea of wordsmith storyteller is very much oversimplified, and she does make a good point that there are people who think of storytellers as being those people at the parties who can tell the story and engage you, but really couldn't put it down in a form that somebody would be able to read. But I think the simplification was to be used as a point within the storytelling wordsmith as far as a writing realm. I had thought of a couple more examples or a little more thoughts on this since I did the last podcast. Think of John Grisham and Michael Crichton. These are two guys who have made millions and millions of dollars simply because they can tell a good tale. Neither of them are particularly great at the prose itself, per se. You don't walk away from one of their books with these great visual images and thinking of this wonderful timbre of their words, the almost poetic quality. But Anne Lamott, who is an author firmly in that wordsmith camp, at least in her fiction, she's good at telling a story in her memoir-type works, don't get me wrong, but in her fiction work, at least in Blue Shoe, which is the one that I read most recently, her storytelling ability tends to meander. It's not very focused, but you get these great images of people and sunset items and feelings, emotions. She does a great job of giving you a comparison, a metaphor that really makes something snap for you. One of the Oprah books from back in her heyday of Oprah books was White Oleander by Janet Fitch, which I did read, and it did a great job of telling a story for somebody who was interested in the story. I didn't care because it was a chick book. I'm a guy, I'll admit it, and I was doing it as a trade with my wife, where I would read a book she recommended, she would read a book I recommended. But the thing about White Oleander was that I still enjoyed the book, even though the story wasn't one that I cared about as much, because she had such a great, almost lyrical quality to her prose. It almost sounded like poetry. I'll move on to our last voicemail because April addresses some similar thoughts as far as pigeonholing people into things. She also has two voicemails, which I'm just going to play back to back and then discuss them all at once.
Okay, this is April, and I'm a teacher of kids about 11 to 14 years old, and one of the things that I try to teach them is writing. After listening to Charles's little synopsis of this book, I think I may have to find it. I'm not sure, though, as a reader, whether I could classify all of the authors that I've read as being either storytellers or wordsmiths. To me, the best authors are ones that combine the two. And, you know, I'd have to read more, but from the synopsis, it sounds like she wants to categorize them in either one or the other. But I would think that, you know, I know that I try to teach my students to be both, and I know that the books that I've enjoyed have involved both. I also find it interesting and a good reminder as a teacher that not everyone constructs a story the same way, that some people need to visualize and then write, and some people need to set some parameters before they can visualize. So this definitely sounds like an interesting book and one that I'm going to put on my to-locate list. Thanks for bringing it to my attention. Bye-bye. Yeah, it occurs to me that, like, Rich Bragg is one that comes to mind when I think of the idea of wordsmith, you know, just how beautiful his books are. But yet, they're also fascinating stories. And I don't think it's a one or the other thing. You know, Orson Scott Card, my all-time favorite author, he's a wonderful wordsmith, but it's his stories that are just fascinating. So I really have a problem with categorizing authors into one side or the other. I think in order to be a good author, an excellent author, you'd have to have both. Anyway, that's my thought.
Well, I had forgotten about Rick Bragg, who is another great example of somebody who is a great storyteller and has some fantastical visual prose. Very much a wordsmith, but for me, I actually think of him more as a storyteller because his prose does give this beautiful images of what's going on, but I really get more wrapped up into the story aspect as opposed to thinking about those great images. Though his books are nonfiction, so he may not translate that well into fiction, remains to be seen, but not that that takes anything away from his great ability as a writer to tell a tale and use the language in such a way that gives you great mental pictures. It was really April's last voicemail, though, that put that you can't be one or the other argument into perspective for me. Both April and Sandy mentioned that they had problems with pigeonholing or categorizing people as such, and to a degree, I think they're probably right. But Kate Wilhelm is talking specifically about writing students, and I think that's the key here, is that those students are almost all going to bring a large dose of one or the other to the table. And it's the process of learning and developing those skills, and developing that specific skill and talent that they have, and also that opposite side of the writing coin that's going to decide how successful they actually are. So most of your successful authors that you'd be reading are going to be ones that started out as mostly one or the other and developed into a well-rounded writer. And that's why they're considered so good and managed to sell so many books. Guys like Grisham, Crichton are, I think, naturally storytellers more than anything else, but they've developed a level of prose and competence and writing skill to go with that storytelling gift, and hence they keep selling books. And among writing circles, I've got to mention Dan Brown, who I've never read, but from all the comments I hear from writers who have read his books, he seemed to me a prime example of somebody who is a storyteller, but his wordsmith skills are so rough that the aspiring writers who come to his stuff and see how poorly he may turn a phrase, they get really annoyed with him because they have such a love for the language as well as the storytelling. I think I have run this subject completely into the ground now, and I'm going to just end the podcast here. We'll discuss something else next time. Quick note, for a couple other writing podcasts that are out there, you can do a search on iTunes or any of the other major podcasting sites for The Secrets by Michael A. Stackpole, which I've mentioned before. The Kissy Bits, which is a new one, which I haven't listened to yet, but I've downloaded some. It's a romance writers podcast, which I've heard good things about it from people who aren't romance writers. Also, The Survival Guide to Writing Fantasy, which has some interesting ideas in the couple of episodes I've listened to, and a lot of it on marketing your book once you actually get the book done. How do you get those sales? And, of course, don't forget our old friend Mer Lafferty over at I Should Be Writing, who has a great wannabe writer podcast by a wannabe writer. Thanks to all of our callers. You really added to the show here, and you can email us at wordtrip@gmail.com with show ideas, suggestions, corrections, notes, whatever, or post over on the forums at wordtrip.com, or please leave us a voicemail. You can either reach us via Skype, the ID being wordtrip, or you can call us and leave a voicemail. It's a generic message right now. We may get it customized, we may not, we'll see. It's we're using the Skype voicemail service, which is kind of in testing right now, I think. And the number is area code 678-810-0967 in the US. Love to hear from all of you. Thanks for listening. Happy word tripping, and remember, it's the story, stupid.